World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Excuse me. Constitution Day, I think it is. I want to thank all of you out there for all you do. You know, we call it Coach Dave Live and do this show, and my face is all over it. But I just get so pumped up by all the things that are going on, the information people send me. I'm just going to tell you again, there's absolutely no excuse for why we're losing. Other than we have really, really bad theology. I'm not going to get into theology today, but we have really, really, we have defeatist theology. We the Church of Jesus Christ does not believe in an all-powerful, all-conquering king. I'm going to tell you something. We believe in that in the hereafter, maybe, but we don't believe that now. When the Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Why? Is God's will on earth to see this mess that is going on around here? Is that his will? Of course it isn't his will, but it's bad theology. And as a guy who coached a lot of football, I can tell you the difference between a team who thinks they can win and a team who doesn't think they can win. I've coached both. And we're on a team that doesn't think it can win, except those of you in the huddle. You think he can win. Randy's out staking stuff. I mean, we got Jeff's out. We got people doing stuff everywhere, and a difference is being made. Hang on with me, because today is September 17th. It's Constitution Day, and as always, Craig reminds us of something we did a year ago today. What was it, Craig, we did a year ago today?
Well, we went to the 12 circuit courts, which are the ones that feed the Supreme Court, right? So when you don't get a resolve locally, you go to your circuit court, and if you don't get the circuit court, then you go what? To the Supreme Court. But what we did is we bypassed the circuit courts because we went to the courts of heaven.
Amen, brother. Amen. And so we showed up at the same time a year ago today at 12 district courts all across America, San Diego, Cincinnati, we could name them all. I don't have the top of my head. And we went and what? We prayed. We prayed God's will to be done. A year ago today. And it was amazing. Not amazing. I'm sitting up in my mansion. I have a huge mansion up here. Went up the escalator, sitting in my mansion, doing show prep today. And I'm thinking, Lord, he kept saying it to me. See, he kept saying it to me. And I didn't hear it. I wanted to go someplace else. And the Holy Spirit kept saying it to me. And I didn't hear it. And then I got up and I walked outside and I came back in, and all of a sudden I got it. You ready? What's the difference between power and authority? What's the difference between power and authority? Is it in Matthew, Spencer, see how smart you are, somebody smarter than Spencer, where Jesus said, "All power has been given unto me." Where is that? All power.
Force versus authority. Force versus justice.
Where is it, Jack? All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. And Jesus did what? When Jesus, for this purpose, was the Son of God manifest, that he would destroy the works of the devil. Where is that? Get my brain rolling here. Get the Holy Spirit rolling in me. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest. In other words, for this purpose did the Son of God show up, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, hang on. How does he have the power and authority to do that? To destroy the works of the devil. God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. God shows up and said, "I'm here to destroy the works of the devil." Now, we have to ask a question. What are the works of the devil? What are the works of the devil? Well, we could get into a lot of stuff, right, this? But we know that ultimately the work of the devil was to oppose God and to steal souls. Ultimately, that's what it was about. The rebellion in heaven was about who's in charge here, boss? Who's in charge here? And Adam, when Adam sinned, he gave authority to the evil one. The wages of sin is death. And so because we, Adam, gave authority to God, this is just Coach Dave theology, but it's kind of the way I understand it. Because God, Adam sinned and gave authority to the devil, we were cursed. And God looked at us and said, dude, what would somebody get, huh? Soul that sins, it'll die. Somebody's got to pay a price here. Who can we do it? So through the eons of time, he sends his son. And his son, he plants that seed inside of a woman, and the woman gives birth to a son who is the incarnate spirit of Almighty God, and says, somebody's got to die for this sin. And Jesus says, I'm here to do that. I'll go die on that cross. Goes through it. He dies a death. He pays a debt he doesn't owe. He dies on the cross because the wages of sin is death. Somebody sins. Somebody's got to die. That's the way it is. Soul that sins, it dies. You sin, you die, unless somebody pays the bill for you. So Jesus dies on the cross. And the last thing he said, well, next to the last thing he said on the cross, anybody know? Anybody know what the last thing he said was, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. What was the next to the last thing he said? Does anybody know?
Forgive them.
What?
Forgive them.
Well, he said that, but that wasn't the last
thing. It is finished.
It is finished. What is? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I'm going to say it again. Here was his job description. He's going to come and he is going to destroy the works of the devil. That's his job description. And Jesus shows up, goes through that whole mess. They crucify him. He's lived a perfect life. They crucify him. He's paying the debt for anybody who ever sinned. He's hanging on the cross. And what did he say? It's done.
It is finished.
Job's done, baby. Amen. Job's done. And ever since that day, we have been teaching that the devil has authority. I'm just telling you the truth, folks. We have people who believe that the God of this world is the God over all the world. No. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And when he died on that cross, he seized the power of death, hell, and the grave right out of the hands of the evil one. He is neutered. He is no longer in power, in control. Would anybody want to spiritually argue with that? Why don't we believe that? Why don't we act like that? What is the difference between power and authority? I took my little grandson, Davey, fishing yesterday. We hadn't been fishing a long time, catching little bluegills. We had a lot of fun. And I'm trying to teach Dave how to fish. And you know what I could have done? I could have done the whole thing for him. Could have baited the hook. Could have cast it out there, could have tightened the line, I could have waited till he bit, pulled it in. I could have done all of it. All I had to do, I had the power to do that, didn't I? Hey, Betty, did I have the power to grab that pole out of his hand and reel it in for him? Did I have the power to do that? Yeah, why did I have the power to do that? Why did I have the power to do that?
Do you have the authority?
Because I have the authority to do that, right? So David, I'm going to let him keep messing around with his fishing. He's messing around with it. And I got the authority. I have the power and the authority at any time to step in and say, David, give me that pole. And we're being taught in American Christianity that Almighty God doesn't have any authority over that guy. What we call the devil. Why, he's the God of this world. No. There's only one God. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's above all, in all, and through all. And the only power the enemy has is what we permit him to do. Would somebody say amen? So I know I got somebody out there understand.
Amen. What I'm saying. Amen.
The exact opposite of what the American church is teaching. The exact opposite. Now, does Satan have power? Oh, yeah, he has power. But it's usurped power. He doesn't have the authority to do that. that the name of Jesus, somebody help me out here, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God to the glory. Right? Huh? He is. Every knee is going to say that. Why? Because he is the authority. And we sit around and act like one of his subservients is in charge. Oh, I'm going to get in. Lord, pour this out of me. Because I'm struggling this morning trying to help you to understand, help us to understand how this is going on, how we are permitting all of this to go on. Let me ask somebody a question right now. Very, very simple. Very simple question. Right here in, I'll pick Hebron, Ohio, although it's not going on in Hebron, Ohio. If they wanted to do a drag show in the school at Hebron, Ohio, could we stop it? Could we stop it?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Why could we stop it?
Because we have the power.
And?
Authority.
Authority.
And authority. We have both power and authority, right? Do we exercise that power? Do we exercise that authority? No, no, because we don't mix religion and politics, right? We don't get involved in that because we're going to be out of here. We're going to surrender and be out of here. The Lord told us to occupy till I come. He said in the very first chapter, submit the earth. Huh? Doesn't that say that? Where is that? Pull up Genesis 1. I'm sorry. This is for me this morning, maybe. Maybe it's for me. Genesis 1. What did he tell us? Didn't he go tell us to, huh? Then he goes, tells us, the earth was void of the spirit, moved upon him, and God said, let there be light, and it was light. God saw light was good, and he told us, go some, anyway, I'm not going to go down through that. What? We're supposed to go subdue it. Go subdue the earth. Where does it say that? Subdue the earth. We're supposed to subdue it. Oh, and God said, it'll be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and then subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over every living thing that moved upon the face of the earth. You go do it. You have the power. You have dominion. You not only have the power, you have the authority. Is this a boom for anybody?
Amen.
Boom. The exact opposite message they are teaching in your church. In fact, they are probably teaching you how to hide from the devil. Not overcoming. Well, you know I'm telling you the truth, right? You know I'm telling you the truth. Because we don't understand power and we don't understand authority. When I got up this morning, I came down this multi-million dollar studio and I came over here and plugged in all the power. What? I connected to the power? I hit a button and the lights came on. Wow. So it's available. It's potential energy. Right now, potential energy. All power been given unto him. And I give it to you. Go. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, Jack, it's specific jurisdictions, specific ones. I got to pull back off of this because I got some stuff I got to show you today before I get going. Praying for Neil Levy. Neil, we're praying for you up there. Shane Hollerich, we're praying for you. Hey, folks, there's a devil loose. I mean, there is. Church doesn't believe in the supernatural. Church doesn't believe in healing. Church, I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. We don't really believe in it. Somehow we focus more on the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. Is he? Well, if he's the God of this world, is there anybody above him in this world? Oh, there is. There's a guy with the authority, like when the cop shows up with the badge. When the cop shows up with the badge, that shows his authority. Who gave him the power to do what he does? He gave him the power to come and arrest you. Why? Here, this badge right here. And you're carrying around with you the mark of Christ on your heart, and you exercise no authority or power, neither one. The church sits quietly, builds bigger buildings, and invites people to come in, and they have no power or authority. Wait a minute. They have all power and all authority, but they don't exercise it. They don't teach you that you do, that they do. And so all this evil stuff is going on around us. If I was on a football field and this was going on, I'd be looking for a wedge buster. Hey, Brett, do you know what a red wedge buster is, Ohio, Brett? What is a wedge buster?
Oh, we love the wedge buster. Full speed ahead, crashing into the wedge.
So they ran down the field. The wedge buster didn't try to make the tackle. He just ran down the field as fast as he could and threw his body in the middle of the front line of people who were blocking. He was a wedge buster, and then somebody else came and made the tackle. Isn't that the way it works, Brett? Yeah, that's the way it works. Is the church a wedge buster? Huh? Church a wedge buster? You're doing all this demonic stuff around us, wedge buster? I got to keep rolling here, man. I got to keep going. So I'm going to pull up for you. We're going to pray at the end here. Don't let me forget it, okay? Pull up number five. This is Michael DeWine, the governor of the state of Ohio. Can you make that bigger, Spencer? Huh? No, thank you. Okay. What's it say down there? State of Ohio. Hey, folks, we're talking power and authority today, aren't we? Power and authority. Look, go back at the top, please. Go back at the top. December 24th, 2019. How long ago was that? That's quite a while ago. To Mike Pompeo from Governor Michael DeWine. The state of Ohio has a long and successful history of welcoming and assimilating refugees from all corners of the globe. Do we have a long history of that? Does anybody know of the long history that the state of Ohio has of doing that? Does anybody know any program that's done that, long history of it? Friggin' liar. Ohio also has well-developed support networks to welcome and assimilate refugees, primarily led by our faith-based community. This guy is so full of crap. We don't have that. What are you talking about? Oh, I know he's talking about Catholic social services who line their pockets with government dollars. Oh, now I get you, Governor DeWine. Before entering the United States, there's a lengthy, get ready to put your hand over your mouth to keep yourself from laughing here, okay? Before entering the United States, there's a lengthy, complex, and careful vetting process done by multiple federal agencies to confirm a refugee's eligibility for entry. Can anybody yell BS? BS?
Boom.
BS.
BS! Given our ability to successfully welcome and assimilate legitimate refugees and the administration's stringent vetting process, I consent to the placement and or resettlement of refugees within the state of Ohio. Let me ask you a question. Where the hell did he get that authority? I'm waiting for an answer. Can somebody tell me where he got that authority to do that? I consent.
He didn't.
Placement and or resettlement of refugees. Who's I? What do you mean? You consent. Folks, I'm heading somewhere today. I'm heading somewhere. So this is what we call pull-up number six. This is called malfeasance in office. Okay, I'm going to walk you through something here. I'm going to shut up here, man, I promise. Malfeasance is a broad term that describes conduct that is inherently wrong or unlawful. Hey, stop a minute. We're bringing in a bunch of refugees and giving them money to violate our immigration laws. Would that be inherently wrong and lawful? Unlawful. Would anybody agree with that? That would be inherently wrong and unlawful.
Oh, yeah.
Does the governor have the ability to make that decision? Of course not. It is most commonly used in reference to actions by public officials or employees who have failed to perform the duties required of them by statute. The description of corruption or misconduct must be used in both civil and criminal actions. To explore this concept, consider the following malfeasance definition. Are you rolling down the highway with me here, folks? Hey, folks, Mike DeWine ought to be in jail. You know, can I tell you what else? So should all those elected officials in Ohio who agreed with it. They should all be in jail. Okay, scroll on down. Definition of malfeasance. One, the commission by a public official of an act that is harmful. Has Mike DeWine done anything that's harmful to Ohio citizens? Come on, friend. Yes or no? Yes or no?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
That is wrong. Yes. That is that is the commission of a public the commission by a public official of an act that is harmful, legally unjustified, and contrary to law. Hey, Vinny. Boom.
Boom.
So what is malfeasance? This legal term refers to intentionally doing something that is wrong, either legally or morally. Hey, Betty, it's wrong legally and morally to make you pay for those people to come in here.
Exactly.
Huh? Malfeasance is a dishonest act, an action undertaken for improper purposes, or an act that the individual knows exceeds his authority. This is not to be confused with misfeasance, which refers to doing something that is wrong by mistake or error, or nonfeasance, which refers to a failure to act when an obligation to do so. What the hell are we waiting on? So here's then it gives you an example of what a malfeasance and a misfeasance and a nonfeasance is. Does anybody out there other than me think Michael DeWine knew full well what he was doing? We just read it. Knew full well what he was doing when he allowed them to come in. Does anybody think, huh? What can he claim? Ignorance? Is ignorance an excuse? No. Yeah, that's right. Kasich helped him. Kasich helped him. Scroll on down. I think there's another point I want to make on this. Hey, somebody make me feel good. Hang on a minute. Somebody make me feel good. Say, Coach, I never heard this anywhere. Come on, somebody make me feel good.
Awesome job.
Huh? I never heard this anywhere. So defining malfeasance in Ohio. Throughout history, some people holding public office act in ways contrary to the public good. Has Michael DeWine acted in a way that's contrary to the public good? What are all the people, what are they complaining about in Springfield? Well, many of these acts amount to ignorance of some statute or regulation. Do you think he was ignorant or regulation? Other acts are intentionally done for personal gain or personal purpose. Somebody help me say guilty, 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 guilty. It is these acts that amount to malfeasance in public office. I'm reading up here, by the way. Determining just what acts may be considered actionable or even a criminal has proven to be a challenge. Oh, yeah. The appellate and Supreme Courts of a number of states have taken the task of defining malfeasance. And here's what they came up with in West Virginia. A wrongful act that the individual has no legal right to do. Does Michael DeWine have the legal right to bring people into this country and make you pay for them?
Absolutely not.
He doesn't have that power. Wrongful conduct which affects, interrupts, or interferes with the performance of official duties. An act for which the individual has no authority or warrant of law. An act for which the person ought not to do. An act for which is wholly wrongful and unlawful. Folks, motor voter registers non-citizens to vote. An act for which the person has no, there's that word. Not an act for which the person has no, not power, Because we see he had the power to do it. But did he have the authority to do it? Which is positively wrong or lawful. Betty Perkins is being forced to pay for those people in Springfield. Betty is. Not just Springfield, a lot of places. Do they have the right to do that? Betty, do they have the right to make you pay that? I don't think they do. The unjust performance of some act which the person has no right and has not been contracted to do. Governor DeWine does not have the authority to make this a sanctuary state, whatever that means. Elements of malfeasance. I'm sorry, but you got to know this. Scroll down. In determining whether a public official has committed malfeasance, the courts, oh yeah, there we go. The courts are in on it. The courts must consider whether certain elements have been fulfilled. Well, every circumstance is different. The following elements generally must be present. Has the official committed an affirmative act of omission? This means the official has physically taken action or purposely decided not to act. Has Michael DeWine done anything to protect you financially from the onslaught of these people? Has he? Has he done anything? No. Was the act performed in the individual's official capacity? Sir, sure, he was the governor. He just told us he signed it, right? We just read that. And how about this? The act interferes with the individual's performance of his official duties or with the official duties of another public official. He's usurped all the power. He's usurped all the power from the local people, right? So go scroll on down. This goes back to the Kim Davis thing. You guys remember when Kim Davis? Remember when Kim Davis was the court? She wouldn't marry homosexuals down in Kentucky. We were down there for that, though. By the way, we were down there fighting for that. That was back in 2015, and Kim Davis refused to give homosexuals marriage. You remember that? Huh? We were there. This goes back to that. Keep on going down. Come on. She said, "I won't do it because it violates my oath," and they made her do it. So and it says a public servant is guilty of official misconduct in the first degree when, with intent to obtain or confer a benefit or to injure another person. You can't miss this. They have no power or authority to take from me and give it to somebody else, no matter how righteous that act might be. They have no power. They have the power. They don't have the authority to do it. And if they do it, it's malfeasance. Or they refrain from performing a duty imposed on him by law. Michael DeWine has a duty to protect you, Betty. He has a duty to protect you, not to rob you. Or violates any statute or lawfully adopted rule or regulation relating to his office. And official misconduct in the first degree is a class A misdemeanor. Okay, I'm going to shut up. I'll put it in the chat. I got more. This is what we're dealing with here, folks. I'm looking over here. Go to number 60. Malfeasance is an act that is illegal and causes physical, Betty, can you read? Physical or monetary. Hey, Jack, what does monetary mean? What does monetary mean, Jack?
Money.
Huh?
Money.
Money. Malfeasance is an act that is illegal and causes financial money harm to somebody else. They can't take from Betty and give it to the Haitians. They can't do it. Malfeasance is intentional conduct that is wrong or unlawful, especially by officials or public employees. My goodness. In the context of tort law, malfeasance is a higher level of wrongdoing than nonfeasance. Nonfeasance is failing to act. Male misfeasance is lawful but harms another person financially or physically due to carelessness. We are talking malfeasance, intentional, illegal harmful monetary damage to the individual. Scroll down. In corporate law, corporate malfeasance can range from unethical to illegal actions and can include cases that cause physical harm to another person. For instance, a Ponzi scheme is an act of corporate malfeasance. By the way, your government is a Ponzi scheme. They take money from you and they give it to somebody else. That's what a Ponzi scheme is. Somebody made me feel good, say, daggone, coach, I can't believe this. Come on, I'll wait. Somebody pat me on the back.
Hard to believe.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. They're breaking the law right in front of us. Right in front of us. Okay, down 6C, legal dictionary, corruption. Corrupt is a word that may be used to describe something that is tainted, decayed, or putrid. It also describes a person who is debased in character. The term corruption is commonly used in modern society to refer to unethical or dishonest behaviors. Such people may be elected or appointed officials, clergy, or corporate executives. Corruption exists in every nation of the world. What's the definition of corruption? Dishonest or illegal behaviors, especially by people in positions of power or authority. The corruption laws were designed especially for people in authority. You can't be corrupt if you don't have any power. So what is corruption? It's defined as the abuse of entrusted power for personal or private gain. Corruption has become so widespread that it's broken down into several categories based on sectors in which it occurs. Dishonest, by the way, in which it occurs, and the amounts of money lost or other damages. Hang on. Where is that? Did I put that in there today? I don't want to go there. $58,000. You've been damaged. You, each one of you, $58,000. Scroll on down. I can show you that. So there's all kinds of corruption. Petty corruption. I'm not going to go through them. You could read grand corruption. Systemic corruption, known as endemic corruption, occurs because of weaknesses in the organization's structure or its procedures, practice. That would be the government, right? What about government corruption? Government corruption may be present at all levels, including a broad variety of public agencies, and impacts all of the citizens these elected, appointed, and employed officials are supposed to serve and protect. Government corruption includes a variety of activities, such as offering or accepting bribes, extortion, offering jobs or other benefits to friends or family members, called cronyism. And government corruption may be broken down to three categories: public, political, judicial, what? And police. Hey, Bill Dunphy's going to go to court on Thursday, and it's all right here. It's political corruption, judicial corruption, and police corruption. Anybody want to argue that? But we're supposed to obey the government, right? Good Christians obey the government. No, we want the government to obey the law. That's what we want. Go to number 7 real quick. I'm going to open it up here. I don't even know what number 7 is, but I want you to see it. Oh, yeah. Huh? Here's some guys that ought to be locked up. Huh? Remember this? Remember these guys? By the way, this would be Bush, Clinton, and Obama. Public officials. Listen to these guys. Go ahead.
Our fellow Americans.
Right now, the COVID-19 vaccines are available to millions of Americans.
And soon, they will be available to everyone. The science is clear. These vaccines will protect you and those you love from this dangerous and deadly disease.
They could save your life.
So we urge you to get vaccinated when it's available to you.
That's the first step to ending the pandemic and moving our country forward. It's up to you.
There you are. Come on in, Ann. Hey, hang on a minute, Ann. I gave you a mouthful today, didn't I? Didn't I give you a mouthful today? You look around and you look, folks, government is not take from the rich and give to the poor. That's thievery. That is not okay. That is not, no matter how noble it is, nobody can vote me to give my money to somebody else. They can't vote me to do that. Do you understand that? You understand it? Go ahead, Ann.
Yes, Coach. God bless you. You're right. You're talking exactly what I am researching right now for my fifth federal criminal complaint, because the systems and the miscreants that run them are so corrupt. There's no way for we the people to win. Period.
And
the deck is completely stacked.
We expect the Department of Justice to hold the Senate and the House accountable. Tell me you're kidding me, right? That's what we think, right? That they're gonna investigate each other. Go ahead, Ann.
Right. Yeah, it's the fox guarding the hen house. And we have no chance, which again, this is why it had to be a military operation, and this goes back a long time, like really before JFK's time frame. And I got censored again, like I'm without internet right now. It's almost laughable at this point. But I posted on my Substack account almost a week ago about the USS Liberty, which June 8th, 1967, was intentionally attacked by Israel. And it was covered up by both America, our president, Lyndon B. Johnson, and Joint Chief Staff McNamara. Both of them highly corrupt sons of bitches, putting it very mildly. But that ship, the USS Liberty, was considered a sitcom. It was dead in the water because Israel was trying to get us into a war, and the cover-up from the Israeli government and the American government at the top. And it's been covered up all these years, and the truth is finally starting to come out. But I do believe, based on my research, that those men aboard that ship who primarily were all cybersecurity guys, naval intelligence. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have nuclear weapons on board. They just had four machine guns for self protection, basically self defense. But so if Donald Trump would have a Q clearance.
Keep going. We know
the cabal, why are they trying to kill him twice? Can somebody explain that to me? Huh? Hang on, Ann. I'm sorry. I could let you go on and on because I know you're full of stuff, and I'll give you a chance to come in here and explain it to everybody. I'm heading somewhere else. Spencer, pull up for me real quickly again because you got to know this. Pull up number four, Spencer. Pull up number four. Get it on the screen again because we've already found out what malfeasance is, right? Hey, Spencer, scroll clear on down, halfway down the page. Halfway down the page. You've been damaged. Go on, Spencer. Keep going. Oh, stop right there, Spence. All right, Spencer, let's show people again so that they understand how much you have been damaged. Pick your state. Get Ohio in there. Every Ohioan is on, what? $785 million. $785 million we've given to illegal immigrants. They have robbed from you against your will, and they have no authority to do that. Some other place? Randy's down in Oklahoma. How are they doing down there, Randy? Oh, why, only $782 million. So if I don't have a calculator in front of me. Somebody help me out here. I'm in Ohio. $785 million. Somebody type that into their computer. $785 million. And then somebody look for me real quick. What's the population of Ohio? Somebody look for that. Come on, do some research here. Somebody's looking up $785 million, right? Now, what's the population of Ohio? Come on, somebody help me. There it is. Spencer's got it. The population is... of Ohio is 11 million. Now, wait a minute. They're not all taxpayers, though, are they? They're not all taxpayers. Your grandkids don't pay taxes, right? They don't. So what? Okay. So let's be good to them and say that it's 11 million. They didn't. But let's say it is 11 million. So if you divided 11 million into 785 million, how much has each person been damaged? What's the math there? Somebody help me out. Well, we can see it. We've met the enemy, and the enemy's our government. The enemy's our government. right? Have you, Betty, have you, I keep seeing Betty. She's right in the middle of my screen. Betty, you been financially damaged? Jack, you been financially, Steve, Deck, Johnny, you guys been, any of you out there been financially damaged? How much did they say? And I heard DeWine, Mike DeWine sends government money. What do you mean government money? What are you talking about? Government doesn't have any money. They don't have any money unless they steal it from me and then give it to them. For political and, oh my goodness. Huh? NASA, Bob Evans says NASA is $67 million a day. What are we going to do about this, folks? What are we going to do about this? Because if you don't pay your taxes, they say they're going to throw you in jail. They're going to throw you in jail as they violate your rights. Can anybody out there say J6? That when the J6ers said something's going on here, something ain't right, and they showed up to petition the government for redress of grievances, they've staged a false flag attack and locked them in jail. Have you called your Republican? By the way, Troy Balderson, my rep, we're having a meeting with him tonight. Huh? That's right. He's having a public meeting. We're going to find out what he has done to get those J6ers out. Several of his constituents locked unfairly, unlawfully, illegally in jail, and he ain't peeped one peep. Ann wants back in. Go ahead, Ann. I guess your hand's still up.
Well, I don't want to cut you off either. I put it in the chat. There is a long history of the immigration laws, and that's why President Trump, wartime President Trump, keeps harping on us, because we haven't cracked the nut on that yet. And my research the last week, working on my fifth federal criminal complaint of the people that unlawfully seized my, you know, very successful family oriented campground, 155 acres, multi-million dollar business. Yes, I've been financially harmed. I'm not worried about it. I get it all back at some point. But trying to find why and where this came from to trace the history, well, it goes back to between World War I and World War II, when Hitler's a good guy. And he busted away from central banking, the banksters and government gangsters, and he freed Germany and the German people, who were, it was a Christian nation. And the American, Jews who weren't Jews, the Khazarian mafia, which was already planted in America, Shifty Sheriff's grandpa, who was part of Jack Island, took $20 billion in American taxpayer gold and sent it to Soviet Union, gave it to Stalin, and basically funded the Bolshevik Revolution, which massacred 80 million plus or minus people, mostly women and children, unarmed civilians.
Amen.
And those Jews, the philanthropists took that money, or their money, philanthropists, that should always throw up a red flag.
Money those is the pedophiles power.
And the money. Yes.
Money is power. Money is power. No money, no power. No money, no power. Money, you have power. Money, you have power. Money. Why do you think they print money? They're printing power. Dave Allison.
So, Coach, I got a question for you. Where is the DEI champions in this whole Springfield thing? I say take the $2.5 million. And buy all the Haitians membership to the most exclusive golf course outside of Columbus. You know, don't teach them how to drive. Teach them how to play golf.
Yeah, that would be good.
And I'm telling you, if that happened, both they and DeWine would be gone in about a week.
Right. But then, this is so, what about, hey, Dave, what about Melungeons? I'm a Melungeon. My great grandparents migrated here. They didn't get any government money. They didn't get any free housing. Melungeons have been discriminated against. Any Polacks out there? Any of you Polacks still out there? Well, you've been discriminated against. Why have they chosen to bless the Haitians but not the Polish? What's that? What the? What? Come on, wake up, Johnny.
Morning, that's Coach. Good morning, everybody. Yeah. You said money is power. Money is power. So they're going to go digital with money. Yeah. Where does that leave us?
Well, they know the money's no good. They know the money. Hey, damn, where does that leave us? Well, let me show you here. Point number three. I was going to read this, but I couldn't get through it without jumping up and throwing some desks. How about this one? How loser theology is poisoning the church. Can anybody explain to me loser theology? What is loser theology?
Escapism.
One word, yeah. Lukewarm. Lukewarm.
Why do evangelical Christians have so little power in our society? According to some surveys, evangelifish are 25% of the population. And though we are known for our tendency to vote for conservative candidates, we have little power at all. Smaller groups, by contrast, have much greater power in proportion to the numbers. The Gallup survey estimates 7.6% as queers. Yet despite their numbers, they are queer. Queer means odd. They're odd. They're queer. It's queer than somebody would do that. See, they change the words and you follow right along. Say, well, that's so mean to call them queer because you know what queer means. Hey, Spencer, while you're doing that, look up queer. Smaller groups, by contrast, have much greater power. 7.6, every major U.S. industry from tech to business to entertainment to education to government are all dominated by radical feminists, pro-abortionists, LGBTQ activists, and godless secularists. Would anybody disagree with that statement right there? If evangelical Christians represent a quarter of our population, then where are the prominent evangelical entrepreneurs, up-and-coming business leaders, CEOs, innovators, and tech powers? They've got to be out there somewhere. So why don't we know about them? Because something is wrong in evangelifish waters. It's limiting our potential, causing us to actively avoid gaining and asserting power in our society. We've been browbeaten by the evangelical elite, class that scolded us for making an idol out of power. They say things like, the most godly thing a Christian can do with power is to lay it down, which sounds like something the devil said as a practical joke, not expecting people to actually do it. Well, we did. I'm not going to read down to it. It's powerful. Put it in the chat. Spencer, what did I tell you to look up? My brain's going so crazy. Queer, odd, singular, hence whimsical. Okay, what does odd mean? What is odd? Odd. Not even. Left or remain. Singular, extraordinary, differing from what is usual, strange. Huh? So someone to be queer is strange. I could actually say this. Oh, you got a queer way of looking at that. Why? I never thought of that. That's queer. It's only when the homos got a hold of the word queer and used it, they shut your mouth. It goes back to what we just read. Oh, I'm all over the place today. I'm sorry. I feel it so deeply. Dale.
Yeah, amen.
Hey, Dale. Hey, Dale. Yeah. Dale. Yeah. You're a queer man. Ain't no
pastor
like you. You queer.
Yeah, well, let me tell you what John chapter 15 says. John chapter 15 says you'll gather that bundle of sticks. It's called a faggot, right? And it shall be burned. What were those sticks, coaches? Because they could not produce fruit. They could not produce fruit. Those things were gathered up and those things were burned.
I am the true vine. Dale, I got it on the screen right now. I am the true vine. My father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, and as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, same bring forth a lot of fruit. For without me, you can't do anything. But if a man doesn't abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. By the way, Randy, that's staking, isn't it? Isn't that what staking is? You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Well, Coach, one more thing, you know, talking about politics. They are hired. We hire them. It's like giving somebody the keys to a business and they run that sucker in the ground and we don't fire them. We don't hold them accountable. They steal from your company and you don't have them arrested. That's what we do with our politicians. We give them the keys, right, to run our life and we don't hold them accountable.
Yeah, Dale, it's like hiring somebody to house sit and then bring everybody over for a big party at this house while you're gone. And then your house is all torn up and then they send you the bill. Isn't that what's going on? They send you the bill. They destroy everything. They steal everything in your house. They give it to your neighbor. And then they call you selfish. Man, folks, we're so far off the beaten path. We're so far off of it. I'm telling you. I ain't got much time. What else? What have I got here? One other thing I wanted to show. I think I showed you that one. Yeah, I did. Those criminals. Somebody come in here. Make me feel good. Roger.
Well, I don't know if this is going to make you feel better, but I think what would help me on the queue and maybe others is the biblical response to these illegals, okay? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's for another program, but you know, we hear love thy neighbor, all that good stuff. Right. But the biblical response to the invasion, because that would help me, maybe others, the scriptural, the biblical, that it's okay if we tell illegal immigrants to go home. You know, we don't have to love them into our country and pay for them.
How about this, Roger? How much more money would we have if we weren't paying for a bunch of services that we're not supposed to be paying for?
Oh, I agree. But the biblical, they're going to say things like love thy neighbor.
Okay, right.
Take care of, you know, the widow or what, you know what I'm saying? The scriptural biblical response, you know, even in Old Testament times, every city had a wall around it to prevent the enemy from coming in.
These same bastards want to tell us there's a separation between the church and the state. And then they want us to take care of the needy. What?
Well, the taking care of the needy. I don't know. That's just me. What is the scriptural biblical basis to confront this lunacy of allowing every Tom, Dick, and Harry into your house?
Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. There'd be three good places to start. Ohio Brett.
The biblical response is found. Coach gave us the lesson years ago, Ezekiel 9, crying out those who do not cry out against the abomination in our midst. Go read Ezekiel 9 and then also go dust off when that man took the javelin and he speared it right by those people mocking us. There's your scriptural response.
Yeah, we don't want to go there, do we? Huh? We want to be biblical till it really means being biblical. We don't want to go there then, do huh? So Brett's talking about the inkhorn where we run around the brazen altar and stamped those who were crying, stamped on the forehead those who were crying for the abomination, crying out against the abominations. And then they slew. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north. And every man had a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them, clothed with linen, had an ink stamp in his hand. And he went in and he stood beside the altar. And on the glory of God of Israel was gone upon the cherub, upon where he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the inkhorn in his side. And he said, go throughout the midst of the city and stamp him on the forehead of the men that sigh and that cry for the abominations that be done in the midst. You go find them, the guys who are really in. And others, he said in my ear, go ye after them to the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have you pity. Utterly slay old, young, maids, little children, women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my church. And then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house. They started with the old men who should have known better and let it happen. Gino.
Well, it says to help thy neighbor, but if the neighbor has a place to live
That doesn't mean you have to take them into your house to take care of them.
By the way, Gino, what makes him your neighbor? Just some guy moves next to you, he's your neighbor? Sorry, I ain't buying that one.
Yeah. But anyway, they've already had a place to occupy, and they should not be coming in and breaking into our property.
This is just common sense. Right?
But what would you guys do? Even the new heaven that comes down is going to have a wall around it with 12 gates.
That's right.
God knows what borders mean.
Mm. What would you do, folks? What would you do if the sheriff pulled up in your house and you came ahead? He had two armed deputies that came, knocked on the door and say, hey, Coach Dave, we've been watching what you've been doing. Look, we need $500 from you. So what? You need $500 from me for what? Well, these guys across the street, they're camping out and they ain't got any money. We're going to go give it to them. You'd put up with that? Hmm? Dave Allison.
Well, Coach, again, in Luke 10, as I was talking about the Samaritan, that was a question the man asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave him the example, look for the person who's been unjustly damaged and hurt.
Right.
That's the guy you're looking for, not some criminal that has unjustly or who has violated and committed a crime against people. That's not your neighbor. And so that's right. So Jesus gave a clear example of who your neighbor is right there, Rogers, to look at Luke chapter 10. He shows you who your neighbor is.
That's right. That's right. Simple. This stuff is simple. We got the Bible. Randy.
So, Coach, if this immigration is okay and it's right, why can't we go and cross borders on other people without visas or anything and say, hey, I don't like my country as government. I want political asylum.
Randy, why can't I go up to Dublin, Ohio, and take Urban Meyer's house?
Hey, that's right, Coach. It's the same principle. It's a system of hypocrisy. So what probably we ought to do is a lot of people ought to march to the capitals and just say, hey, we're going to stand here. We're from another state. But until you give us asylum here, we don't like the politics of our state. We want – see, I mean, put it back on them, you know, the stupidity, the simplicity of it. And make them.
We want $1,500 on a credit card. We want all that same stuff. Look, I used to like Ohio, but I don't like it anymore. I'm going to come down here to Oklahoma, and I'm a refugee. Will you give me all those benefits? What do you think the odds of them doing that, Randy? Probably not very good, is it? Folks, wake the hell up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Jack.
Yeah, I think one of the biblical responses in the example is Ruth and Naomi. The opposite of occupy is your God will be my God. Your family will be my family. That's the difference.
That's the difference. Amen. Amen. Craig, quickly.
So that goes back to Balaam and Balak when he put the women on the other side of the Jordan and they integrated. So these Haitians are bringing their foreign gods into that land. They're making blood sacrifices to their gods. So now you have an indwelling place that was basically God the Most High was referenced, right? Because you said there's a lot of churches there. Now you have all this other. This is a fight in the spiritual realm as well as the physical realm. And here's the neat thing about this, Coach. Here's what's neat, okay? So we can give kudos, right, to those media decrees. Is the national news media being dragged into covering this?
Yes.
Do you think that's their choice?
Oh, no,
because they got the independent media and the people are going to the independent media and say, crap, we got to catch up with these guys because we're losing and they're watching it on YouTube or whatever.
Amen.
They're being dragged by God.
CoachDaveLive.com. Share it with your friends, huh? CoachDaveLive.com. We're telling the truth here. We're picking up where the church left off. Huh? See you tomorrow.